All right, I decided to take a little break from Revelation this week. I'm sorry. I have never preached a Independence Day sermon, so I'm going to do that today. And I titled it, Give Up Your Independence. Probably not a very popular title on Independence Day, but bear with me, okay? But before we get going in the scriptures, I just want to share with you guys some Independence Day facts, okay? So, according to the statistics, 84% of people, Americans, plan to celebrate Independence Day this year. And 61% of those are planning to have a cookout or a barbecue. How many of us are part of that 61% today? Woohoo, all right. The total money expected to be spent on food this Independence Day is over $7.5 billion. And one stat I read said about 150 million hot dogs are consumed on the 4th each year. If lined up, that amount of hot dogs would stretch from Washington, D.C. to Los Angeles more than five times. Over $1 billion will be spent on beer alone. Over $1.5 billion will be spent on fireworks. And another stat I read said that there is usually a 42% decrease in air quality on the 4th of July because of all the fireworks. And the last stat I have here, it says in 2019, $6.7 million were spent on U.S. flags for Independence Day. And here's the kicker. Most of them are imported from China. So, Americans love celebrating Independence Day, don't we? And Americans love their independence, don't we? We've seen a country divided over so many different issues because everyone has their independence. Everyone has the right to do what they want to do. But is independence always a good thing? That's what I want us to be thinking about this morning. So would you turn with me to John 15, and we're going to read the first 11 verses. So John 15, 1 through 11, and this is Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he says this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. So let's go through this. And kids, I'm going to need some of your help, okay? So, verses 1 and 2, let's reread what it says. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Okay, now I think the imagery Jesus is giving here is a vine and branches. It's probably grapes or something, but because I couldn't find good grape pictures on Google Images, we're going to go with apples today, okay? I'm sorry. But anyways, let's look at this apple tree. Do you guys see the branch on there that doesn't look like the other ones? You see that, Rowan? What color is that branch?
Brown.
It's brown, right? That branch is not bearing fruit. It's not even doesn't even have healthy leaves. So if you were to take care of that tree and you looked and saw that branch, what would you do? You say, well, something's wrong here, right? It's not getting its life from the tree. It's not doing what it's supposed to do. It's not green like it's supposed to be. It's not going to produce fruit. We're going to cut it off, correct? Because we want a healthy tree, and we only want branches that bear fruit. So we're going to take that one off. Now, let's look at this other one. This is a picture of someone pruning a branch. And I don't know why they're doing this. Maybe the branch is growing in a different direction, maybe kind of doing its own thing, and it needs to be brought back and tamed to where it's supposed to go. Maybe there's some external things that have affected the leaves or something that's going to affect the way that it produces fruit. It needs to be pruned. It needs to be cut off, not all the way, but cut back and moved or trained the way it needs to grow. Does that make sense? Do you understand what pruning is? Okay, so the whole goal in removing bad branches and pruning, the whole goal is so that you get a good crop of healthy fruit, right? If you have an apple tree, what do you want off of it, Misha? Apples, right? And do you want little apples or yucky apples? You want healthy apples, right? Those are pretty good looking apples up there, aren't they? Hot summer day, it'd be nice to have one of those and bite into it. Okay, so the whole goal is to have good fruit, to produce good fruit. And what does Jesus go on to say? He says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay, so we need to break down a couple words in here. Who knows what abide means? Rowan, what do you think abide means? This will be good. Don't know. I thought maybe you had something. Okay, abide, the definition means to live, continue, or to remain in a place. So what's Jesus saying here? Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Okay, every person who has faith in Jesus and follows him is abiding in Jesus. And every follower of Jesus continues to grow into a bigger realization of abiding in him. Does that make sense? So when we put our faith in Christ, we are abiding in Christ, but as we grow as a Christian, we're learning what that abiding means in a more mature and bigger way. So Jesus is saying, abide in me, I will abide in you. This is how it works. And the whole goal is to bear fruit. What is this fruit that Jesus is talking about? Well, we have the fruit of Christ and his nature. We take on Christ's nature. If we are connected to him, we will be like him. We produce what he produces. We start living and thinking and acting like Jesus, just like what Mike shared this morning from Romans 12. We're not conformed to the world because we're not connected to the world. We're connected to Christ, and he transforms our minds to think differently. We start thinking and acting like Jesus because we are connected in him, because we are abiding. I think the fruit is also the fruit of the Spirit, which we read about in Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We start to see those things happen in our life because the Lord has given us His Spirit. When we are abiding in Him, we will bear that fruit. And this is the fruit of a transformed character. You see this in people that put their faith in Christ. You say, I used to know that they acted like this, or they used to have these habits, and now they're changing. I don't know how that even works. How does that work? Well, it's because Jesus puts His Spirit in His followers, and they change. It happens. That's the fruit of the Spirit. But let's just simplify this. Fruit here is anything that gives glory to God through Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what I believe this fruit is. Anything that gives glory to God through Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, Jesus says, He it is that bears much fruit if you're abiding in Him, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Kids, pay attention, I need your help again. Is that branch ever going to produce apples? Why not?
It's not on its tree.
It's not on its tree, right? So, isn't this wonderful, this imagery that Jesus gives us? He's saying just like a branch that can't produce any fruit if it's not connected to its tree, so you can't produce any real fruit if you're not connected to me. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Remember that brown branch that was sticking out from the tree before that I showed up there? That's what happens. If you're not bearing fruit, it's showing that you're not actually connected to the vine that gives life and produces fruit. So if you're not bearing the fruit of Christ, you will be cut off, thrown into the fire, and burned. This is a loving warning, I think, that we need to think carefully, where are we connected? Okay, let's go on. Verse 7, Jesus says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Isn't that a bold statement? Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. So, ask for anything. If I need a new car, can I ask Jesus for a new Bugatti? I can ask Him, right? Wouldn't that be a nice car? You think I should start praying for that thing, kids? Well, I wouldn't be able to take all the kids with me, but... But let's look at this verse again, okay? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you can ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you, okay? That's massive. We need to understand that. And I think that's where so many people take that verse out of context and they say, well, if I just pray, God's a good father. I can ask Him for things and He'll give them to me. Yeah, but we need to be transformed in our mind, right? We need to have the mind of Christ in order for that to happen. We need to be abiding in Jesus and Jesus abiding in us. And when that reality is true, then we can ask whatever we wish and it will be done. Why? Because we have the mind of Christ. We would pray how Jesus wants us to. And I just wanted to put this up there. We're not going to go through every single one, but these are just some of the promises of God. And this is how I want us to pray, church. We need to pray through the filter of Scripture. When we pray through the filter of Scripture, we can expect those things to happen. We're not wondering, is God hearing my prayer? Is God going to answer my prayer? I know that God promised in Romans 1, He promised salvation to all who believe. So that shapes the way I pray and the way I ask God for things. Lord, you promised salvation to all who believe. Would you give my friend here belief? I want to see him saved, Lord. Would you do that? You desire to see all men saved. He promises new life in Christ. Lord, my friend, me, whatever. I've found faith in you, and you promise new life, and I want to see changes happen in my life that glorify you and honor you. Pick any of these to work all things good for those who are called by him. Romans 8:28. When things are going wrong in our life, why do I almost miss a flight? Why do I have a flat tire on the way to church? Why are all these things happening? It might be that God's working something out for his glory and for our good, because if we are called by him, he's not going to just leave us stranded. He's not going to just let us go through trials alone. He has a purpose working through all of that. And this is how we pray. We take what God has promised in Scripture and we say, I know, Lord, that what you say is true, and I can bank on those promises. And I need to transform my mind and the way I pray to fit your will, God. Does this make sense? So we don't just ask for frivolous things like a Bugatti or a mansion or things like that, because we know God doesn't promise those things. But God does promise these things and many more. And we get the joy and the privilege to find those things in Scripture and to put them into our regular prayer life. It shapes the way we think. It shapes the way we pray. It shapes the way we respond to life situations. Okay? Kids, you tracking with me? All right. Oh, one last one. I didn't put it up here, but 1 Corinthians 1:20 says, for all the promises of God find their yes in Jesus. So again, just when we abide in Christ, we know that God's promises will be worked out in that abiding in Jesus, because we are connected to him. Jesus fulfills every promise of God. Let's keep going. John 15:8. By this my Father is glorified. How? That you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Again, fruit is anything that gives glory to God through Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. What does this look like? What does this bearing fruit look like? The fruit of a transformed character and the fruitfulness in making disciples. That fruit happening in our life is we change. You might hear people talk about, well, Jesus meets you right where you're at. And that's true, but he doesn't leave you there. He will change you if you abide in him. You will see good changes. You will see his character start working out in your mind and your actions. And also, fruitfulness in making disciples, right? That was the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations. There's this fruitfulness, this reproducing. So again, if we look at the apples, what has God designed to be inside of an apple, Kenny? Seeds, right? Why? Why is there seeds in an apple? That's how God created it. Help him out to produce more fruit, right? God designed things to reproduce. That's a good word when it's done in the right way. Reproduction, it's making more things. Okay? So bearing fruit in Christ means fruitfulness in making disciples. It just happens. When we abide in Christ and we take on his character and be transformed in our minds by his mind, we will begin to bear fruit. It just happens. We can't help but share the good news. We can't help but love and serve others. We can't help but see those in need of the gospel. We reproduce as fruitful ones, being connected to the fruitful one. Okay? 9 and 10. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. John also says in his letter to the churches in 1 John 2:3-6, and by this we know that we have come to know him, that's Jesus, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. We see evidence of being like Jesus when we say we're in Jesus. If we don't, we need to examine that carefully. Christianity is not about a list of these and thous that you have to obey. It's putting faith in the one that obeyed them and then doing what he says, doing what he did. My works don't save me, but they happen because I've been saved. And we need to understand that. We don't gain favor with God by giving people money or helping them out. But we do that because God's love is in us, and that's what he wants us to do. Does that make sense? So kids, whenever you see those opportunities to help others or love others, you're doing what God would want you to do, but it's not earning your salvation. Your salvation comes from grace alone in Christ. You put your faith in his saving work. Abiding in Christ means keeping his commandments, but not in our own strength. How many times have we seen that? We keep trying to fix something we know is wrong inside of us. I'm not bearing the fruit exactly. I need pruning, but I'm trying to do it on my own, and it doesn't work, does it? We need someone to come and prune in us. We need to trust in Christ's strength and work to work those things out, not our own. And that comes by surrender. We get to know Christ by surrendering time in his word. We get to know Christ by surrendering time in prayer. We get to know Christ by surrendering our will to take on his, and he'll do that work out in us. And Christ's strength helps us to overcome sin and embrace new desires. So he doesn't just say, oh, don't do that. He'll transform our mind to understand why he designed something the way he did, or why he created something the way he did. Most of the time, the things that we struggle with are good things. We just put them in the wrong spot, or we do them the wrong way. And we need our minds to be transformed in order to understand God's good design. When we're in God's good design, we're living rightly, and those things bring us more joy. And that's where we get to here in the last verse. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be what? Full. We receive the joy of Christ when we surrender our will and become dependent on him. So a lot of times we say, well, you know, especially as Americans, we think independence, right? Like, I can do what I want. I should have the right to choose. And you do. And so did Adam and Eve. And look where that took them. But when we're dependent on God and his word, we can live free, because we're living the way God designed us to be, dependent on him and his word and his ways. And notice, we don't only receive a little joy once in a while. We receive full joy. Who here needs a little more joy in their life? And don't you want not just any joy, a little bit? Don't you want full joy? Don't you want Christ's joy to be in you and spill over into your life? This is what it means to abide in Jesus. So, I had a little play on words here, title. I said, give up your independence at the beginning, didn't I?
And at first, as Americans, we hear that like, no, take up arms, fight. But think spiritually. We need to live in dependence on the gospel. And the gospel, many times we might think of it, oh, it's something I heard once and I prayed a prayer and I'm good and now I'm doing it in my own strength. Don't do that. Be dependent on the gospel every single day. Left to yourself, you're going to wind up in trouble. Living in dependence on the gospel means a full surrender. Abiding in Christ means walking by faith in Jesus. That means daily living out the gospel. That good news that you heard when you first put your faith in Christ, you're living that out every day. And you do that by reminding yourself of it every day. I am a sinner in need of a Savior, and He has called me, and He has saved me, and He has transformed me, and is transforming me, and has given me a helper in the Holy Spirit, and this is who I am, and this is how I live day to day. And abiding in Christ also means spending focused time with Jesus and engaging in intentional actions. Right? We can't just say we're going to do it and not back it up with action. So we read the Word. We pray. We live in community with other believers. We fight sin in our life. We make disciples. These are all intentional actions that we do. These are all focused things that we do because we want to abide in Christ. We're not doing it to earn salvation. Oh, I read my Bible today. I'm good. I'm saved. No, we read our Bible because we want to remain in the one that keeps us in our salvation. Amen? So today, as I've seen many hands, I think more than that 61%, as you go to your cookouts today, as you celebrate the American Independence Day, remember the spiritual truths that we read today in John 15. And think hard about surrendering your spiritual independence of our old nature and holding on to the dependence we need in Christ to bear fruit and bring glory to God. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are the fruitful one. You are the one that abided in your Father's love. You are the one who obeyed your Father's commandments. And Lord, you live that whole perfect life. And you willingly followed your Father's will, even when it meant death on a cross. And you did that so that we could be part of God's family. So that we could bring glory to your Father through you and your saving work. So Lord, would you continue to work that out in us here at Cornerstone Church St. Paul? Lord, we want to be dependent on you because you're the only source of true life. So Lord, when we are fighting against you, when we are putting our foot down and wanting to follow our own will, Lord, humble us. Lead us to repentance and surrender so that we can be fully free the way that you designed us to be. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.